Hello again. I'm Ruby Ryder, and you have found Pegging Paradise podcast question and answer number 2. I hope you've all had a great week, and I got a lot of material to cover tonight. Let's see how much of it I can get through. My first question. First of all, you should know that I have had experiences with gay sex in the past, meaning that I have a pretty good notion of how a cock feels inside of me. So when my girlfriend and I recently started to discover the world of pegging, I thought of myself as an experienced receiver of a good thrusting, and it was indeed a delicious pleasure for the both of us, my girlfriend especially, I am glad to say. What bothered me a little, though, was the feeling of the dildo once it had entered me. Obviously, it did not feel as real as an actual man would have, but my body seemed to be a little uncomfortable with it. I never had a problem with taking my partner's cocks reasonably deep inside of me, but this dildo took a good amount of work to find its way completely in. I think it had something to do with it being quite solid and not of a jelly-like material, and therefore it might not have bent as generously as a real cock would have. So I was hoping you might elaborate on what dildos you and your partner, partners, it left me some room for plural there, like to use, and which of them the men find to be the most stimulating. Okay, first of all, awesome that you're bi and out. I love that. Second, the word jelly, you used the word jelly about the dildo being quite solid and not of a jelly-like material. Jelly raises flags with me. I'm sorry, I'm all about the whole toxic toy thing. And informing people so you never, ever, ever want to buy a jelly toy if you can avoid it. I may have covered this in the last podcast, but I'll probably, you know, say it until you guys are tired of listening. Jelly's toxic. If all you can afford is a jelly toy because they're really cheap, then for God's sake, cover it with a condom because they're toxic. They have chemicals that will leach into your skin. Plus, they're not sterilizable. They're porous and they hold bacteria. And you do not want to be putting something that's porous and holds bacteria in your ass. Not a good idea. Okay, done with the jelly lecture. Let's move on. There are a line of, there's a whole bunch of companies that try to make special, more expensive dildos that are supposed to be more realistic and skin-like. And I don't mean realistic in look, I mean realistic in feel. I mean, sometimes they look realistic as well, but we're talking about feel here because this is what my reader's asking about. I wrote an article about this, and if you go to my blog and you type in the search skin-like dildos, you'll find it. I researched all kinds of different dildo materials. It's a tricky thing to do because you can label the packages anything you want. The manufacturers are under no obligation to tell you the truth because sex toys are not regulated, so they can put anything they want on there. However, we do have a pretty good contingent of people who are very concerned about all this, plus we have some awesome manufacturers and sellers. Let me mention one of the sellers first. Eden Fantasies has an excellent page on material safety. It's kind of bizarre how you have to find it. If you just go to Eden Fantasies and pop up some toy like you're looking to buy it, to the left-hand side you'll see a whole bunch of information about it. One of the pieces of information you'll see about it is the material it's made of. That's a link. Click on that and it will take you to a more elaborate explanation of what that material is. What you're into now, the part of the website, is actually the guide to materials and material safety. Right underneath that, you'll see another little link that says index. If you click that, you have a plethora of, or is it plethora? Wow. of different choices of materials. And truly, if you're like cruising around on eBay and you find this really cool toy and it says it's, you know, skin-like and la la la, all you have to do is go to Eden Fantasies and look it up because they have a very complete list on there and it will tell you exactly whether it's safe or not. I did a reviews of, in this article I wrote, of the main ones, and here's what I found out. The main things that you want a realistic-like dildo to do are number one, the most important thing is it needs to have a solid inner core and a softer outer core. So it feels more like a real cock. You also want something where the outside of it actually feels more like skin, a little bit more give to it rather than that slick silicone feel. So, and you know, hence the name, skin-like. You not only want it to bend like a cock and sort of have that inner core, but you want the outside of it to feel somewhat as close as you can get to skin-like as well. You want something that is non-toxic, that whatever materials they make that dildo out of are safe inside you. And last but not least, you want something that is easy to care for and doesn't require all kinds of special things and powders and storing it out of the light and bizarre things like that. So those are the four criteria that I judged things by when I wrote this article. There were only two of them that passed all four of those tests. And those are the only ones I'm going to mention in here. One is made by Vixen Creations, and the material that they use is called Vix Skin. So that's just the material. It's VIX SKIN. That's the material they use. So there's a line of them that they have. Are they pricey? Yeah, they're totally pricey. And they're really nice. They're very nice. And the other is something I have not had in my hand or in my harness. This is made by Tantus, T-A-N-T-U-S. That's the other excellent company that makes just premium toys. And the skin-like material that they use is called O2. I don't know why, but there's a whole bunch of them. There's like six different models of all different sizes. Although I have not personally had experience with those, they're all very highly rated at Eden Fantasies. That is another place you can look things up and find out what the ratings are. So I highly recommend both of those. They both have the hard inner core, the softer outer core. They both, that softer outer core is really kind of nice and squishy, a little bit like skin might be. It's pretty cool. Part of the reason, dear reader, that you may have experienced this difficulty is the texture of the outside of the dildo you were using it. I wanted to mention that because some dildos have like a matte finish, if you will. They're not really slick, and like 100% silicone is pretty shiny and slick. Some dildos are actually a little bit, matte is the best way I could describe it. They're not that slick, and so it's possible that that was something that was bothering you sliding in and out. It's hard to know. Okay, let's see here. And the last part of that question said, so I was hoping you might elaborate on what dildos you and your partners like to use and which one of them the men find to be the most stimulating. Well, my most recent partner absolutely liked the Vix Skin. There's two specifically that we had some fun with. One was called the Johnny, which is 7 inches by 1 3/4 diameter. And his very favorite was the Outlaw, which is actually 8.5 by 2. Which was pretty formidable. Took me a while to try it. I was not reaching for that. Whenever he and I got together, I was not reaching for that. So, yeah, that was fun. That's all I'm saying about that. I walk a fine line here, revealing my personal life with you people. Okay, same reader. Second question. My second question touches the subject of what you might call male lingerie, especially jock straps. In my gay encounters, I have always found jocks to be a welcoming surprise, whether it was me wearing one or my partner. Since I know you to fancy a well-shaped male behind, I wonder what you think of them and the easy access to a man's awaiting opening they provide. Talk about a quick bend over on the kitchen table. All my male partners absolutely loved jock straps, and I can remember at least a few wonderful nights where they were more than supporting cast. But for some reason, my female partners have not been as excited. While that may be a hint that I should work harder on my glutes, I still very much would like to know your opinion on jocks, and for that matter, what other male underwear brings a tingling sensation down to your nether regions? There are very few people who use the phrase nether regions. I love that. Okay, jock straps. This is really funny. Jock straps, in my mind, are sweaty, athletic, non-sexy, protection-y kind of things. And I suppose I got a little confused with cups, because I guess those are the protection-y things, but hey, that was the first thing that came to mind for jockstraps. So, like any good researcher, I put jockstraps in Google image search. Oh boy, did I have a good time. In fact, I got a little lost. That's why the podcast is coming out a little bit later than I would like it to have, because there's lots of lovely pictures there. I don't want to make any big generalizations, but it does seem like it's more common in the gay community. I have never dated or been with a man who wore a jockstrap, as a matter of course, under his clothes. I'm definitely reconsidering that. I do like the way it looks. So you've opened up, you know, my world to a whole new type of underwear, basically. They're pretty cute. I like them a lot. But until I did that image search, I had no idea. Now let's see, what other male underwear brings a tingling sensation down to my nether regions? A couple of things. I actually really enjoy a pair of feminine, minimalistic women's lace panties on a hot male body under his clothes while we're at the restaurant having dinner, or at a party of some friends, or at the movies, or while he's cooking me dinner with nothing else on. Just about anywhere, actually. My preference is I'm not into complete feminization, but the contrast of a masculine man wearing some lace panties is pretty hot. I love it. That will definitely do the tingling sensation thing. The other type of underwear I like are thongs. Leave those cheeks out there for viewing or caressing. I do like thongs on a man. You know, basically it's like so many kinds of underwear, so little time. Okay, next question. This must be bisexual night, because here's another one. I'm a 22 bi male. The wife and I got into pegging to satisfy that, but I want her to get something out of it too, and for it to feel real for me. So I was wondering which dildo would be great for someone who wants a good amount of girth, but only 7 inches in length, but can please my partner too, and if a strapless like the Fieldo would be better. These are things that get asked over and over and over again. First of all, for this reader, you know, you probably have listened to already the first question, and that will give you an idea of things that feel more like the real thing. So because you want it to feel real, okay? So you got that part. You're going to have to spend a pretty penny, but in my experience, it's totally worth it. You know, as an aside, I'm recalling something about one of those manufacturers. I can't remember whether it was Vixkin or the Tantus O2, but they literally have like a lifetime warranty. Now, if that isn't cool for a sex toy, I don't know what is. And I had this bizarre little flash in my mind of, you know, you're 85 years old, you come back to the store and say, this thing broke. That would be totally awesome. Okay, back to business here. All right, for the woman receiving pleasure, it's pretty individualized. If she is more clit-oriented in her orgasms, then she needs stimulation on the clit. If she's more G-spot oriented, then she needs stimulation on the G-spot. If we're talking about clit, there's two different ways to do that. You can either get a dildo with a vibe in the base of it, and sometimes those vibrations are powerful enough for some women. Some women say they can't even come close and they're in the wrong place, so it's pretty individual. The other way you can do it is to use a harness that has a little pocket in the back of it. One that I know for sure is the spare parts harnesses, the most recent version of the, okay, let me say it right, the Jacque, J-O-Q-U-E, has a little pocket in the back for a bullet vibe, so those are kind of cool. In fact, it has two pockets. We talked about that last time. Another option for clit stimulation is a Wii vibe. Now, you look that up on the internet if you've never seen one. It's kind of a U-shaped thing, and the idea is one end of it goes on the clit and the other end of it goes inside the vagina, and ideally on the G-spot. Some women love them. Some women are like, eh. I've heard some good reports on combining the Wii Vibe with a strap-on, with a regular flare-based dildo strap-on. So that's an option. And then if you want to shift over to the territory of definitely much more sensitive with G-spot, then you're talking about the double-ended dildos. I want to take issue with one word that you used here. A strapless, like the Fieldo, would feel better, is what you're asking. Yeah, the double-endeds are not strapless for 99% of the women out there. Okay, maybe 95. I do not want women out there thinking that if they can't use a double-ended dildo that their Kegel muscles aren't strong enough. That's a bunch of bullshit. What you're doing here is you've got it. You are holding something in with your vaginal muscles, which are the Kegels, and you are penetrating an anus with anal sphincter muscles, which actually are going to win every time. Part of the reason they win is also because the woman gets lubricated and it gets pretty slippery in there. That's the whole point, is you want to get turned on. So the vast majority of women have a lot of trouble holding those in. There are some where it just seems to work like magic. But the vast majority of women will just get frustrated with the double-ended ones. So the solution is always to have a harness as well. A harness stabilizes them. A harness keeps it in and makes them a usable toy. And they still can get that stimulation from the dildo. You need to get a harness that's compatible. You need to make sure the diameter of the hole is big enough for the specific toy that you have chosen to fit. And there are actually, I think there is one double-ended dildo that actually has a Vibe in it as well. Again, some people think that that Vibe is worthless. Other women totally love it. It's very individual. Okay. So, here's my last question. And it's kind of, there's a bunch of stuff here. And I'm so glad that this woman wrote in. One thing most sites miss is the complexities inherent in plus size of either partner. Pegging is a great workout. Not going to get into how I know, because since I'm on your site, it's kind of obvious. Okay, let's just take that first part of her message and talk about that. The complexities inherent in plus size. First of all, you need to get a harness that fits. Thank goodness, most of the harness manufacturers are actually putting measurements of what their harness will fit, you know, the measurements up to. And there are even some custom manufacturers for people who are really large or women who are really large who want something custom out of leather. There's a bunch of different options, but the better harnesses will list measurements. And if it doesn't, it's probably not a good one. If you're looking at the cheap ones and they don't have a measurement, yeah, not a good place to be, especially if you really need that thing to fit. Can't imagine ordering something online, having it come, and you're so excited, and then you can't even use it. That would suck. Okay, the second thing you need to take care about if you are a plus size is that you get a dildo that's long enough. If you think about bodies coming together and how they're coming together, if you are larger in size, or the man you're pegging is larger in size, you're going to have a little bit more flesh in between you and what you're penetrating. So you want your toy to be a little bit longer. Normally, when people start out, I say 6 inches is fine. Anything shorter than 6 inches, you're really limiting yourself in terms of thrusting ability because it'll fall out. I would say for large people, start with a 7. The thing is, you don't have to sink it all the way in to the hilt if it's not as comfortable for your guy. But I would say, you know, if you've got some extra flesh there, some extra lovely padding, then get a larger toy. That's something else to consider as well. So the third thing that came to my mind in terms of plus sizes is positions. Pegging is strenuous for the woman. We're not used to this. I just ran across a message the other day about a man saying, you know, women's leg muscles are not strong enough. You know, there's a lot of muscles that we have that aren't strong enough when we actually try and fuck someone. It's an amazing experience to realize that it takes muscles that you really haven't used or ones that you do use but they're not strong enough. Then guys have been doing this for a while, so they've got it down. So that's one thing. Now, one way to get around that is to do the cowboy position, where she's laying on her back and he's riding her. You can do that either forward or backwards. I never saw the appeal much of his back to you. I really enjoy the man facing you. And the cool thing about that position is that he can control the depth and the speed and the angle and everything. And she can do whatever she wants to, whatever she can reach, let me put it that way. So it's a fun position, very much fun. Okay. And to go on with the message, we got into pegging because my partner is a bigger guy, and my finger could not get deep enough, nor the right motion that he preferred. Please make sure that people understand that not every woman has a finger long enough for the man she is with to hit his prostate, and this can open the door to exploration of other toys. With my partner, it's how he became more open to it. A couple of things that are so true about this, and again, thank you, reader, for writing in. The first part is that, yeah, absolutely, sometimes the fingers are not long enough. And that is something that I'm so glad you brought up, because I had not talked about that on my website yet, and I know this to be true. I have not experienced that myself, but I listened to a podcast called Sex is Fun, which is pretty darn cool. And way back when, one of the people who were on that podcast, she was mentioning, yeah, can't reach the prostate, gotta use a toy. That's the first time I ever really realized that this could be an issue. I mean, it makes sense. Everybody's built differently. Fingers are shorter. Distance from anal sphincter to prostate probably is a little different in all guys. So absolutely, sometimes fingers are not long enough. In that case, you default to a toy. Absolutely need a toy. So here's my thought. I mean, you guys might disagree with me, but my thought is instead of buying a specific prostate toy, unless it's a solo toy, that's a whole different thing, but if it's for play together, instead of buying a specific prostate toy, which are, there's a ton of them that are marketed as, ooh, this is a prostate toy, just get a dildo. Get a dildo that you can then use later with the strap on. Sometimes for women who are easing into anal play with their guy, it's an easier transition from a handheld dildo and then strapping it on than it would be from an anal toy that's different looking to an actual strap-on. So that's something to consider as well. Now, a mention about the solo toys, just because this is a really cool thing. When you mentioned in your message that your partner really enjoys the prostate stimulation, it's, you know, I have found it's true. The prostate stimulation is pretty addictive for most men when they try it, and I have a friend who is having urinary problems because the ureter tube goes smack through the middle of the prostate gland. Okay, this is why men have urinary issues, is because you get the enlarged prostate and it starts cutting off your ability to urinate. So he had a doctor who prescribed prostate massage, smart doctor, and so this guy got a solo prostate stimulator. I think, I'm pretty sure, he went to the website called High Island Health. High as opposed, you know, as in opposite of low. High Island Health. Okay, here's a really funny thing about this. This is what's called the Aneros toy. A-N-E-R-O-S. You will find two completely different websites. One is the High Island Health. These people are serious. They're talking about prostate stimulation for prostate health. They have studies, and it's awesome. I totally am so happy to see people actually doing studies that show that prostate health can be obtained. They have good results through prostate massage. And they have this device, and it's the Aneros, and it's something that you can use solo, and by contracting your muscles, it actually stimulates your prostate gland. Awesome. That is like one of the most sexless sites I have ever seen. It's all medical, it's all professional, it's all cool, right? It's all serious. And then you go over to the Aneros.com website, and it's red, and it just screams pleasure at you. And it's the same toy. And you will find at the Aneros.com website forum boards. with all kinds of men talking about this toy up their asses and orgasms. It is so cool. So I find that actually to be quite funny, but also quite encouraging, because the whole thing about prostate massage or prostate health is very real. And there's all kinds of stuff on the internet that tries to scare you out of trying it. And it's very frustrating for me, because it's real, it helps. And there's so many guys out there getting bizarre surgeries with, you know, potentially traumatic side effects. And so, okay, enough about that. Sometimes, let's see here. What's it? Got here. Okay. I've talked about, instead of purchasing the specific prostate toy, unless it's a solo, purchase a dildo. And then, not all men would want the dildo, because, again, this is also individual, and that's the coolest thing, is it requires a lot of exploration to figure out what you like. Some men actually require more rigid, hard plastic type of toys, like the anorose, to stimulate their prostate the way that they enjoy the most. So, kind of the lesson to take away from all of this is there's no one-size-fits-all. Whether you're talking about the literal size of the dildo, the type of material it's made out of, softer or harder, when you get to the pegging part, the type of thrusting, faster, slower, which direction, which position, whether the man will like simultaneous stimulation of his cock. There are some men that don't want their cock touched when they're being pegged because they say the sensation they get from the pegging is so amazing, and they love it, and actually having their cock stimulated distracts them from that sensation. I find that fascinating. So they're all individual preferences. And this is what makes pegging such an exciting sexual activity, is because there are so many different ways to try it, so many different methods to explore. Practicing is fun and hot and awesome. So, happy pegging to all of you. To the hilt, gently. And until next week, this is Ruby Ryder. Thank you for listening, and send in your questions. We got time, and hopefully I'll have the answers for you, and if I don't, I will try my best to find them.